Hello and good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. While health officials are trying to bring this pandemic under control, the economic impact continues to heighten public anxiety. This as tens of thousands of businesses have folded, more than 760,000 Malaysians are currently unemployed, and a million more at risk of pay cuts and no pay leave. Yesterday, Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin unveiled yet another round of economic relief to help deal with the economic impact of the second MCO. But the question is, does it hit the mark? And do we have a game plan for a long-term economic recovery? Joining us on the line now, we have Ong Kian Ming. He's the MP for Bangi and former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry. Good evening, Kian Ming. Now, what was your initial response to yesterday's economic support measures?
I took a detailed look at the PERMAI announcements by the Prime Minister. And when I looked at the 22 initiatives that he announced, I realized that many of them were actually repeated policies that were already in the 2021 budget, and that the 15 billion amount is an overstatement, that the additional expenditure that is really in this announcement is probably less than 5 billion ringgit. And I think this amount is grossly insufficient to help businesses and individuals go through what I expect would be quite a lengthy MCO 2.0 lasting beyond the 2 weeks that have already been announced.
Kianming, is the reason for not so much a discrepancy between the headline numbers and the actual, perhaps, real additional fiscal injection into the economy, that discrepancy aside, what kind of limitations are there on government today? What kind of fiscal kind of wiggle room do they have, to sort of address these large issues, which and what might be actually long-term issues? I mean, do they have deep enough pockets?
I think this is not the time for us to quibble about long-term issues such as credit ratings and whatnot, which was an area of focus by the finance minister when he talked about the budget and designed the 2021 budget last year. And we saw the result of what we thought was a relatively conservative budget, which didn't help our credit rating scenario, whereby we were downgraded by one of the credit rating agencies. So under this circumstance, when other governments around the world are spending a massive amount of government expenditure in order to help individuals and small businesses, we should not look at these kinds of constraints. When the Prime Minister can get an allocation of 35 million ringgit to build a couple of community halls in his area in Pago, I don't see why we cannot have larger spending initiatives to help the people who really need it, which are the SMEs and the individuals that are badly affected by this second lockdown.
Right. I understand the need to have financial aid to help the vulnerable absorb some of these short-term shocks that the pandemic and the subsequent lockdowns have caused to people's livelihoods. But I'm wondering whether there's more than that. Is this government still thinking in terms of short-term shocks, or are we? Do we have a long-term recovery plan in place?
Yeah, I think, Melissa, you've hit the nail on the head. I think focusing on the PERMAI initiative or the fiscal incentives and help alone, I think misses the larger point, which is whether this government has a comprehensive and coherent plan to battle this COVID pandemic, both from a health as well as an economic perspective. And I think from the early signs of the implementation and announcement of this MCO 2.0, there is very little that I can see that shows we have learned from the 9 months of having this facing this COVID. And in fact, I think many U-turns were made in the short 1 week period after the announcement of the MCO in terms of the sectors that were allowed to and then later not allowed to and then later on re-allowed to open. Such as the automotive industry and also the question of whether optometrists would be allowed to open or not. So that I think is one thing which really worries me as a policymaker, and ought to worry the larger public as well, because I think people can stomach probably having to go on this lockdown if, let's say, there's an assurance that the government has a plan moving forward, that there would be an MCO 3.0 once MCO 2.0 is lifted. And I think right now, I think the public and also policymakers such as myself need a lot more convincing.
Kevin, what are the imponderables in and uncertainties that that policymakers like yourself and those in government have to consider, or in fact have to kind of admit they cannot fully understand? I mean, is any government at this point in time really hamstrung by the fact that we don't know to what extent the global recovery, the trajectory of the global recovery, to which, say, the Malaysian economy might be inextricably hitched?
We can't predict what will happen in terms of the COVID response, whether the vaccines will be effective in places like the United States or in Europe. But what we can do is to have a better control and to have better sense of policies within Malaysia itself. And I think this is one area where a lot more can be done. So you ask what can policymakers ask for? I think one thing that we can ask for is greater transparency and sharing of data. And this is the reason why I issued a press statement yesterday asking the DG 10 relevant data-related and policy-related questions to do with COVID. For example, we focus a lot on the number of new cases, new positive COVID cases that are published every day. But how about the testing capacity? How many tests are done every day? Have we reached the limit of our testing capacity? What is the positive rate of tests, COVID positive tests on a daily basis? With more transparency on these matters, I believe very much that we'll have a better idea of the kind of policies that can be put in place in order to have a long-term plan, or at least a plan within this year, to bring down the numbers on a sustained basis, rather than having us lurch from one MCO to another.
Well, I'm glad, Kevin, that you brought up that letter, because when I read it, those 10 questions, I think I was also quite curious to know. Have you received a response from MOH or DG Hisham in response to some of the 10 questions that you've posed?
I've not received any official response from the government yet. But the good thing about publishing such a statement is that I've received feedback from other people who share similar concerns with me, and have also clarified certain matters to do with testing capacity, for example. I just got an update to let me know that our testing capacity, daily testing capacity, is actually more than 60,000. This is on the part of MOH alone, not including the private sector. But MOH is only able to do about 30,000 tests per day. So where are the bottlenecks? Are the bottlenecks happening at the state level? Are they happening because of certain human resource constraints? So these are the kind of questions that we need to have more detailed answers on. Unfortunately, I can't ask these questions in Parliament because we are under an emergency, so Parliament is not convening. So we have to resort to other means in order to get answers to these important questions.
Well, Kevin, since you brought up the emergency, what impact do you think the emergency is having on either investor confidence or even in terms of domestic businesses, wanting to invest and so on and so forth? I mean, do you think it has an impact? We've had senior ministers saying they don't think it has an impact.
Well, firstly, I think the emergency is totally unnecessary in terms of providing adequate tools for the government to fight this COVID pandemic. I think the MCO and the ordinances under the Infectious Disease Act is sufficient. And if, let's say, we are not able to come up with very concrete and coherent policies that involve the whole of government, whole of society, having the additional powers coming rising from an emergency wouldn't really help. And if, let's say, we cannot control this virus, we cannot control this pandemic, investor confidence will definitely be affected moving forward. So whatever FDI approved numbers that the Minister of Finance may want to announce, those will not be realized. And I think the business confidence level in Malaysia will continue to take a nosedive moving forward. The notion of this emergency, I think, is many people, especially those in the business sector, can see is purely for political purpose. And the idea that we need an emergency to solve this political crisis would further weaken investor confidence in Malaysia, because we have to resort to these measures in order to, protect the positions of some politicians.
You know, we talk a lot about investor confidence, about business confidence, and I just want to get granular, because you're the former Deputy Minister of MIPI. I want to better understand, when we talk about business confidence, when we talk about, you know, fragile investor confidence or investor dissatisfaction, what are the trade-offs? What is it that we're worried about? If this is perhaps a temporary, the shocks may be temporary, that the whole world is facing a global pandemic, what is it that we stand to lose if we don't build investor confidence?
That's an excellent question, Melissa. I think regardless of whether there's a pandemic going on or not, what investors want is consistent and predictable policies. But what a pandemic such as the COVID pandemic reveals is when you have a government that is unable to deal with the kinds of challenges in an uncertain policy environment, whatever inconsistent policies will exacerbate the kind of worries that investors, current as well as potential investors, would have in Malaysia. So, many people saw the message that went viral on how the CEO of the European Chambers of Commerce criticized the Minister of Finance post about heady, very positive 2020 approved investment figures from a foreign FDI perspective as well as a DDI perspective. But what investors here in Malaysia want is consistency in policies, and we have not really seen that happening under this COVID crisis.
Kian Ming, I want to tap you as, MP of Bangi and your constituents. Do you think that they have basically been persuaded by the argument that having an emergency will lead to a better or a more efficient management of the pandemic? That seems to be the propaganda offensive that's on now, the tying emergency powers with effective management of the pandemic. How are your constituencies responding to that?
Whether or not the emergency powers can be used in an effective manner to battle this COVID crisis remains to be seen, because we've not really seen concrete policies arising from these emergency powers. But what I can say is that many people are frustrated, including those in my constituency, about the inconsistent policies of the government. So, for example, having 9 months to learn from past perhaps mistakes or perhaps having 9 months data from MySejahtera, I would have expected the government to be able to make a decision on whether, for example, optometrists can open or not under safe conditions, right? But we saw again last minute SOPs and last minute changes in the SOPs, and these are the kinds of inconsistent policies and U-turns which frustrates many voters, and it doesn't give voters a sense of confidence that emergency powers are not, this government is capable and able to tackle the challenges associated with bringing down and controlling this COVID.
Kian Ming, thank you for your time. We appreciate your input, your insights to the show tonight. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and talk about this issue a little bit more in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.